The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Well, a quick prayer before we dive in to look at this passage together. And Father, we thank you that you're a speaking God. Please be at work in our hearts and minds by your Spirit through your word this morning, that we might respond rightly to what you might say to us. Amen. Well, the Good Samaritan, it's a familiar passage, isn't it? I think probably one of the best known and maybe most loved parts of the New Testament. And it's one of those parables that pretty much everyone can agree is the right sort of thing for us to think about. It's the sort of passage that will be used in all sorts of different contexts, whether people are Christians or not. They see the value in this sort of parable. It's easy with these familiar and much loved passages to just come away with a sort of warm, fuzzy feeling, like we've just had a nice hot cup of tea or something. But actually, if we think about the situation that this parable comes within, as Jesus replies to this expert in the law, it's actually a pretty unsettling parable. It probably should pull the rug from under our feet, get us to think again. We should be unsettled by what we read here. Not simply go away feeling warm and fuzzy, grateful for a nice story. I wonder if when Jesus first spoke this parable, it produced gasps of astonishment. People not quite able to believe what Jesus was saying. And it's the details that bring out why it's quite so provocative. The story, I'm sure, we'll know well. The man ambushed on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, stripped, beaten, robbed, left for dead. Under what is presumably a hot sun during the day, soon he will perish if he's not helped by someone. And then the priest appears, and in the original Aramaic it says something like, "By good fortune, the priest appears." So everyone listening, thinking, oh, great. Not long has the man been there, and his help arrives, expecting a priest to help a fellow Jew, expecting one who's known to be close to God, who knows all about God's mercy, to be the one who goes to the aid of the man. But it's shocking what we read. No, the priest sees the man and crosses the road, passes by on the other side, verse 31. And then we have the Levite. Well, he too he's involved in the temple. He knows all about God's mercy. Surely he's the one who will help. But no, the same thing. Sees the man. It's clear that both the priest and the Levite are completely aware of the man's situation. But they cross the road and pass by on the other side. And of course, there are lots of good reasons why they might have done so. After all, it could easily be a trap, a clever bait, a man who appears so distressed. One goes to their aid, and the ambush happens. It was a dangerous part of the road to loiter in, to spend any time. People would be looking to just walk straight ahead and get to their destination as soon as they could. Of course, the man might have already been dead, and then he'd be ceremonially unclean, and anyone who touched him would become unclean. And other good reasons, stopping to help him takes time. It disrupts the schedule. It could be costly, and the solutions to come to his aid might not be neat or easy. It's an unknown quantity, helping like this. So maybe those hearing are starting to think, well, what are the reasons why this man might be left there by the priest and the Levite? And then there's a twist in the tale. Jesus introduces the character of the Samaritan. Now, we mustn't think of the Samaritan's charity or even of what we know of the Good Samaritan. We must hear the word Samaritan as the bad guy, the sworn enemy of the Jews. Huge racial tension. As Jesus spoke the name of the Samaritan, those listening to him would have thought, what possibly can that good-for-nothing Samaritan add to this story? But this Samaritan, as he travels, comes to where the man was, sees him, just like the other two, and he takes pity on him, compassion. He goes closer to him, and then he starts to give of his time. He takes on risk. Out of his own store, his own bag, he produces bandages, oil, wine. Presume he had a limited supply of these things, travelling on the road as he was. Sacrificial to give these things. Sacrificial to take such a risk, to loiter on the road in this place. Presumably sacrificing his plans that lay ahead at his destination. And then he gives his own donkey to carry the man. He stays with him at the inn. He cares for him, it says in verse 34. He comes back the next day. He takes out denarii, gives them to the innkeeper and says, look, I'm worried that this man will stay longer than I've paid you for. Here's some more money. And I'll reimburse you for any extra expense that you might have in the future. Lavish generosity. So in reply to the question, who is my neighbour? Jesus' description of neighbourly love blows the doors off people's expectations. Just as he so often does with his teaching, he turns everything on its head. He turns the question, which was about obligation, into a question of possibility. Not what should I do, but what could I do? And as we imagine ourselves in this parable, which is often useful to do, I wonder where we see ourselves. I would love to say that I'm the Good Samaritan, but so often I'm not. I'm the priest or the Levite. I've already decided for good reason that I can't help, or that I've done my bit elsewhere, or that I've already decided how I'm going to use my time, or that I've got something terribly important to do. Or perhaps just because I'm not sure what to do about the problem, so it's just easier to ignore it. But this picture sets the bar so much higher than that. So often I am the priest or the Levite, looking back up the road and seeing this strange sight behind me of the Samaritan coming to the aid of this Jewish man. and wondering what it could mean. But I'm not just there. I'm also the man lying on the ground, beaten and helpless. You see, because as we see a picture of love directed towards people who can't give us anything in return, love directed towards those who are undesirable, think of the racial tension. When I think of love that is risky, that takes time, depletes resources of energy and money, I'm reminded of the man telling the story. The man who would walk the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, not long after telling this parable, and would give of himself in love, sacrificially. And I'm reminded that I'm completely reliant on him coming to my aid in my hopeless state. Completely reliant on him seeing me, having compassion on me, coming to tend to me, to give me what I need in my helpless state, as he goes to the cross for me. So if I'm honest, I'm both the priest and the Levite passing by, and the one lying on the ground, helpless and hopeless. So what to make of this parable? Well, I think this parable is meant to unsettle not just the original hearers, but each of us. It's easy for us to feel we've decided we're going to give our time here and here, and we'll give in this way. And those things are good. It's good to apply wisdom to all sorts of decisions. And as we've been thinking already in our service, loving people involves all sorts of difficult tensions between one person's needs and another person's needs. It's not easy to work out how to apply this principle. But as Jesus tells this parable, he means to unsettle us, to throw everything in the air, that we might put them back in new places, perhaps. Indeed, that's what he calls us to every time we dig into his word. Not to come complacently thinking we know the answer already, but to let him search us, search our hearts, to consider new possibilities about what it is to love in this way. What it is not simply to think about our obligations, but the possibilities of how we might show his love. And of course, it's the same dynamic we often speak of, that as we receive his love, we share his love. Out of the store of what he's done to love us should overflow our love for others. And this morning in our service, we're thinking about two applications. I think there are so many applications for what Jesus says here. Two of them. We're going to think about our cogs, our plans for the year, different areas of church life. What would it look like to reconsider the possibilities of what we could do as a church family for the sake of others, for the sake of each other in this church? Think about some of the areas of need to reconsider what service in view of God's mercy might look like. And we're thinking at the moment also about creation care. Lots of good reasons to care for God's world, but one of them is love for others who meet natural disasters because we haven't cared for the planet in the way we should have. Perhaps those in Bangladesh who suffer horrendous flooding because trees have been cut down elsewhere and erosion happens and flooding further down the river causes disaster and homelessness on a giant scale. Just a simple example of how loving others is bound up with the way we care for the environment. Many other applications too for us to think about and consider. I'm going to lead us in prayer before we start the rest of our service. Heavenly Father, search us and know us. Please, by your Spirit, unsettle us each time we come to your word. Show us what it is to respond to you rightly. Thank you for the way that the Lord Jesus turns everything on its head, and help us to get used to this upside-down kingdom where lots of our gut reactions are shown to be the wrong way round. And we just pray, Lord, that you would do your work in us by your Spirit, as individuals, as a church family. Keep moving us to respond rightly to who you are and what you've done. And help us to see the goodness of living your way and for your kingdom. Amen.